Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about a recent email from Octavia Williams, and she's from the centerforlivingtruth.com, with the quote, "Truth without silence is incomplete. Silence without truth is impotent." Listen as we explain the hard truth. We must live in the divine idea, and human thought can't bring forth the divine image. In this show, we will be focusing on the difference between the rational sense experienced as the absence of noise, as opposed to the spiritual sense of unified sound experienced as silence. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the power of truth. So Swami, today's show is part of that quote that I mentioned earlier, and that is, silence without truth is impotent. But I think first what we need to do is first talk about truth. What is it? And then we can talk about silence.
Yeah, in this model, truth is that there is but one life, one eternal divine life, and that's the truth. And it's spiritual, it's eternal, it's unchanging. And for us to know this truth is what makes us free from this false sense of existence that we find ourselves in.
So how do we relate that to the first part of that quote, truth without silence is incomplete?
In this model, silence is the language of spirit. And so the way we translate this is, spirit is the principle behind truth. Silence with a capital S is not merely the absence of noise, but the omnipresence of the one divine life, which is the one power of the universe.
So we talked about, in the opening, focusing on the difference between the rational sense experienced as the absence of noise. And isn't that what most of us try to do when we are trying to practice a sense of meditation? We're trying to do it with silence.
Yeah, again, in this model, meditation by definition is the seventh stage of yoga. It's also the eighth stage of Buddhism, that there's a lot of preparatory work that must be in place before what you're doing is actually meditating. The fifth stage of yoga is what is called pratyahara, sense withdrawal. That the meditative state isn't really an isolated activity that we do independent of life. It's a state of being, and it's a state of being in union with the one divine life. One of the things we've learned is we can't do that with a rational mind, with that part of the mind that is directly related to our corporeal senses. So in order for us to be able to meditate in the true sense of the word, we have to be before thought and above corporeal sense. From that vantage point, from that perspective, we're seeing things differently. We're cultivating spiritual sense at that level, and we're perceiving things more spiritually than we are materially. The middle piece and where we find most of our failure comes from is the mental piece. When you're working with what's visible and tangible, it's a little bit easier to identify it. But when we go into the realms of what is invisible but tangible, the realms of thought, it's very easy to confuse what is invisible but tangible with what is invisible and intangible, which is spirit. A good way to really work on this is to start to understand revelations in the Bible, because the symbolism in revelations really helps us understand the dynamic that we face when we turn inward. Like you say, if we're still doing this with our five corporeal senses, if we think we're meditating, if we believe that we're meditating, we really haven't gone far enough. We haven't come out of the modes of mortal thinking, and we don't really understand ourselves spiritually. I think that's what is very valuable about this statement: truth without silence is incomplete, and silence without truth is impotent. Because what we really want to start to do is prove my understanding of this divine presence, which is what Scripture kind of recommends that we do. If we are in the truth of our being, then we're free. And what we're free from is this belief in two powers, this law of karma.
Dig a little bit deeper. So how would we know what the unified sound is like? And I'm sure we're not talking about sound as in noise. How do we know if we're in that sense of unified sound as opposed to just the absence of noise?
Well, here I think we're talking about silence without truth is impotent. Again, we're talking about silence with a capital S, which is the voice of spirit, with the message of truth, which is there's only one divine life. There's only one reality, which is this perfect state of being, perfect spiritual universe. And it's held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of life. Now, the difference between the absence of noise and the presence of this unified state of being, this divine consciousness, must be experienced in what we're outpicturing, what we're externalizing, what is appearing in our five corporeal senses. Because if we don't have the fruits of the spirit revealing themselves in our external experiences, that I think would be your significator. I'm either in the absence of noise or I'm in this truth of being. Because what we hold in consciousness is what we're going to externalize as our experiences.
So this is going to be an individual experience because it's going to depend on our level of consciousness. Am I thinking about that right?
Yeah, again, these words that we use, individual, for most of us from a rational sense of understanding, we think that we're unique and there's diversity. But individual, in a metaphysical sense, means undivided, that you are in union with this one divine life. And you being the reflection of the divine, the experience would be generic. It wouldn't be diversified. But from the material sense or the personal sense of self that is divided from this unified state, then of course we have the many as opposed to the one. But the more you get closer to this unified state, this realization of only one life, one mind, then it kind of reminds me of the pyramid. As you get closer to the top, you get closer to the point of oneness.
So let's talk more about the perfect spiritual universe held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of life. So that's something that would be the same for everyone.
Right, it would have to be. Because there's only one divine life, there's only one mind. But then again, we're working with the concept of principle and idea. The term man is the reflection of the divine can be helpful when you understand what Mary Baker Eddy meant by reflection, which is mind considering its own content. You can have the one mind, but have many thoughts. And man being the idea of this divine principle, you can still have that sense of oneness with that sense of diversity. But I think when we're talking about silence with a capital S, we're talking about realization of only one perfect, divine, eternal life.
And that's what we mean by truth.
Truth is the realization of that spiritual fact of being, that life is perfect.
Now, we might think in our human concept about a perfect universe. How do we go about trying to look at this perfect universe through our human senses?
The term I like to use is transcend. The hard truth is we must live in the divine idea, but the human thought can't bring forth the divine image. So the term that we use is stop thinking, that we really want to repent, is what they say in the Bible. Think differently, that we want to rise or come out of corporeal sense into a larger sense of life. Spirit is known through spiritual senses, and silence is the vehicle for activating spiritual sense in human consciousness. So we start with rational thinking, with that mind that I have accepted to get me through this lifetime, the mind that is directly related to my material senses. And that mind can either transmit or receive, that I could either be forming thoughts and opinions, thinking about on a personal level the information that's coming in through my corporeal senses, or I can make it as an avenue of awareness. By me stopping thinking, forming thoughts and opinions on a personal level, I make my mind aware for divine mind. Now, this was what we were talking about a little bit earlier. The difference between the absence of noise and the presence of divine mind is what's going to be the difficult decision that we have to make. Because when we turn inward, everything is invisible. Thoughts are invisible, but they are tangible. We have awareness of our thoughts. And we have a tendency to be drawn towards what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known. So we fall into this thought loop. We think about spirit. We think about silence. We think about the concept of God. And we're still in a thought loop. But if we can go a little bit further beyond thought, beyond those mental images, into what is invisible and intangible, which is the presence of spirit, the absolute. Now you're in the unified state. Our direct experience with this is the sleep from which we return, where we have no recollection, where consciousness returns to the unified state. That's basically what we're looking for. And then once we have discovered that, then the next thing that we do is we watch, we wait, we listen until it reveals itself to us.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1.
Human Development and the Eight Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, we were talking about the rational mind, and I believe the last couple of shows we talked about the concept of the glass darkly. Is that what the rational mind is doing, perceiving through this glass darkly?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're talking about. We're looking at a perfect universe through a rational mind, which Paul called the glass darkly, a human mind that's bringing forth a human picture, which is a thought concept of what is really here. Because the rational mind works on contrast. We're not looking at the spiritual universe. We're looking at what has separated from unity, manifested in half, and then left behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. And so anything that's reporting in our material senses, corporeal senses, is just an approximation of what is here. That's what we have to learn how to do is, and I like the way that Paul says it, face to face. We have to shift from thinking with our human rational mode of thinking into spiritual understanding. We have to cultivate spiritual sense by developing awareness for this larger sense of life, which is beyond this thought loop that we're in.
I would think that understanding what the churches are and then trying to hold this sense of silence with capital S, that's going to help us get there?
Well, yeah. Now you're talking about what we use in Kriya Yoga, which is a chakra system. In Revelations in the Bible, St. John refers to it as churches. The church is Lord's house. It is divine consciousness. It is that place where human thought is the same as the divine idea. In Kriya Yoga, we call that a chakra. But in both cases, it is that place where my thought is the same as the divine idea. The way that we activate spiritual sense is by what we've been saying, stop thinking. Stop thinking rationally, forming thoughts and opinions. Stop transmitting. Start programming yourself to receive, and by making your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of spirit, the invisible, intangible truth of being, when you hold your mind on that in this silence, and at this point, it's the absence of noise. Now, once the spiritual light reveals itself to you, then it becomes silence with a capital S. From that revelation, from that spiritual sense or state of understanding, everything changes. Because now we're perceiving the truth. Everything that we thought was real before, when it is under this spiritual light, is revealed as just being like the dynamics of when you're having a dream and you wake up and you think, oh, it was just a dream. Well, now once we awaken into this truth, then we know that what we were calling life before is just this thought loop. It's made of the same stuff as our dreams are made of. But beyond it is this spiritual sense of existence that is changeless, eternal. And in the process of yoga, we're going from rational thinking to we can get to what we call a higher mind, which is the rational mind works on corporeal senses, but it can only do one thing at a time. So in other words, if you are watching, you can't hear. If you're hearing, you're not seeing. But as you cultivate and develop this practice of keeping your mind attuned to the absolute, you start to grow in a positive direction. Then you start to access what was called the higher mind, the part of the mind still attached to the corporeal senses, but has the capacity to do more than one thing at a time. That you can control your heart rate, your blood pressure, your body temperature. That part of the mind that's doing that right now on an unconscious level now becomes conscious to you. But beyond the modes of mortal thinking is this state of divine knowing, the part of the mind that is doing everything at once. That is divine mind, and that is what we really want to start to live out from, letting divine mind take over the scientific government of our being, to let spirit guide us from within.
Now, there's a book written by Joel Goldsmith, and the title of that book is called The Thunder of Silence. And I'd just like to take a minute to break down the title of his work, Thunder of Silence. It's almost like it's an oxymoron.
Yeah, it exactly is. I really think that that comes from Revelations 1:10, where it is written, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. The Word of God doesn't report in the material senses, but it does report in the spiritual senses loud and clear. And so, silence on a corporeal sense level becomes that avenue for us to activate spiritual sense. And so what isn't reporting in the five corporeal senses, which is what we would call silence on that level, becomes loud and clear on a spiritual sense. The still small voice in the Bible that they talk about is really what is heard in our spiritual senses, which is in direct relation to the divine creation as opposed to the human concept about life.
So, Swami, how do we shift from the material sense to the spiritual sense so we can receive this thunder of silence?
Yeah, like I said earlier, the term I use is transcend, or what the Bible said, repent. We think differently. We forsake the modes of mortal thinking for this divine knowing. That's just words in a book until you really understand what is meant by the meditative state. You're making shifts in consciousness and you're expanding degrees of awareness. But it all begins by the union of the individual with the divine. That we must be connected to this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And by keeping our field of awareness in constant relation to that, and that is where we work from silence and stillness. Silence and stillness invites divine omnipresence into our consciousness. The term in the Bible is called the Christ. The Christ was the interpreter. The Christ is what makes the divine creation intelligible to human consciousness. But for us to start on a human level, we start with silence and stillness. We're using our corporeal sense mind to help us be aware of this divine creation until eventually you shift from physical identity to mental identity to spiritual identity, when the divine creation, the spirit within you, becomes the truth of your being, when you see yourself and recognize yourself as spirit. That's what really activates this relationship. That's when now you're thinking with divine mind and you've graduated from the limited perspective of human concepts and beliefs and theories.
In preparation for today's show, I went on the Bible app from YouVersion and I typed in the word silence, and there was quite a few Bible verses that search came up with, but the one I thought we could talk about is from 1 Corinthians 14:28, and I'll read it for you and then maybe we can break it down together. And it is, "But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God." So the first thing I want to ask you is that very first sentence, "But if there be no interpreter," what does that mean? What is the interpreter in this sense?
Well, I think that's the Christ. If the light of spirit hasn't dawned on you, then what they're recommending is let him keep silent in the church. Now, like I said earlier, church and chakra, I think, are interchangeable terms here, because the church is Lord's house, which is divine consciousness within you. And if we have awareness of the Lord's house, if we have awareness of divine consciousness, the instruction is let him keep silent in the church, which is keep your mind an avenue of awareness for the divine consciousness within you, and let him speak to himself and to God. So from that perspective, we're still at the level where there is a me and God, that I am thinking about God, because there's no interpreter. The light of spirit hasn't really dawned on consciousness. You haven't had that God experience. The revelation of the divine within you is the truth of your being, that I am the Spirit of God within. I am the Christ. And so what we continue to do is we just, in silence and in stillness, we watch, we wait until that spirit, that light dawns on us. It reveals itself to us. And from that level, you now know. Once you have had that God experience, once you experience the presence of this divine principle, you're no longer thinking about it. Like Paul says, you're face to face. You've graduated from thinking about God to realizing that I am one with this divine principle, this divine law.
Well, the first time I read that, I thought that section where it says, "and let him speak to himself," I thought that meant whoever is in this prayerful state of being would be speaking to the part of himself that is the Christ. That's how I first read that to be. And then when it says, "and to God," so I was thinking, let him speak to himself, the Christ, and to God.
You're probably right at that, but I think what we're looking at here is that we're still on a personal sense level of awareness, that there's me, there's Christ, there's God. I'm still operating from a thought level about this unified state of being. I'm still in the belief of the many, and I haven't graduated to the understanding of only one life, the spiritual truth of being, that dissolves personal sense, that dissolves the concept of the many and reveals the truth of the one life.
That's a good way of putting it. When you started to speak, I was thinking that I was reading that verse without the truth. So I didn't have that silence without truth. I was having that silence without truth.
Which is impotent.
This is a good place to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're on the homepage and you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio Show, click that, that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page, and also by clicking on the Products tab and then Online Classes, that directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the power of truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.